Now, you haven't been trained really in this field.
No, I have not.
There's no training given by the correction department.
I haven't had this particular type of training, no. Other than, you know, observing unnormal behavior, this type of thing.
What do you conceive of the function of a correction officer toward inmates who do not manifest this erratic behavior, or what you would describe as emotional disturbances?
I'm not sure I understand exactly what you mean by that question.
Well, what prompted the question was that you replied that you thought that in looking after the general welfare of inmates,
right,
were concerned with their emotional and psychological
right,
disturbances, and I
yeah,
wondered what you conceived of the function of a correction officer to be toward an inmate who didn't manifest
didn't have these
right,
particular problems,
but who's still in a in prison.
Well, he's responsible for the general order and the general welfare. A man has more problems than just psychological problems, normal day-to-day routine type of things. These are things that could be considered inmates' welfare also.
Are there any persons in the institution presently or before September 9 who were responsible for trying to, quote, rehabilitate inmates?
Well, generally speaking, all employees are responsible for rehabilitation.
Well,
in other words, this is primarily one of the reasons why these people are committed to the care of the department.
What are they supposed to do toward that end?
Specifically, as individuals, primarily on my level, correction officer level, it's encourage these individuals to correct their ways. And believe me, this does happen.
And how do you go about encouraging somebody to correct his ways?
The simple, most common mode of communication in the world, simply talking to that individual when he has a problem and he comes to you with it. And believe me, there are many occasions when an inmate comes to an officer with these problems, because nobody has closer contact with these inmates than the correction officer.
Sergeant, as the system is presently structured, is there anybody who reaches out to the inmate who does not come forward to a correction officer in whom he may feel some confidence and
right,
and talk to him?
If an individual appears, I mean, a man, there are other ways for an individual to feel that a man has a problem than for that individual to come to you and say, hey, I got a problem. Officers, by the very nature of their job, are required to be observant. And when they observe behavior which they feel is not normal, they're expected to inquire into this. And if it's something that they can't handle at their level, they certainly pass it on to individuals who are more able, or who at least can route this problem to an area where it can be handled and corrected. Certainly.
And would it be a fair statement that as the department is presently structured, that the correction officer's responsibilities with respect to trying to correct behavior are addressed to cases where an inmate violates the rules of the institution or otherwise displays erratic behavior?
Of course, on certain occasions, this is part of an officer's responsibility, enforcement of the rules and regulations.
Now, if I were admitted as an inmate to Attica and I wanted to find out what the rules and regulations were that governed my conduct, what would I look at?
All right. Normally, you would have a rule book. And up until before the disturbance, rule books were one of the items of equipment that was given to each inmate. Because of the changing times at present, the department is in the process of compiling a new rule book, which at this time has not been disseminated to the general population, at least at Attica. How soon it's going to happen, I don't know. How do we breach this particular gap? At present, all correction officers are given a comprehensive list of rules and regulations and instructions, what the proper methods are for informing the inmates what these rules and regulations are. And like I say, each employee should have one of these in his possession. They have been passed out to all employees.
Now, you said that before the uprising, institution gave inmates this rule book. Do you recall when this rule book was printed?
I don't know. I've got a copy home, but I don't have one with me, so well, copyright date, I don't know.
But it was several years old. It was outdated, wasn't it?
I wouldn't say it was outdated, but I think it was several years old, the copy I had.
And it was printed in English?
Yes, it was.
Do I understand that these were the rules that governed inmates at all institutions?
I can only speak for Attica. This is a question that I can't answer. This was the rule book we used at Attica. I think it was a department-wide rule book.
Now, in addition to department-wide rules, there were rules that the superintendent had the power to establish at Attica. Am I correct?
That is correct.
And there are also rules that apply to particular cell blocks at Attica. Is that correct?
Yeah, depending on the physical makeup of your institution and the physical makeup of your blocks within the institution, there are certain minor regulations where there would be a variance.
Well, if I were an inmate, where would I find those rules, not the department-wide rules, but the rules that had been adopted by the superintendent and by the block captains?
There is a bulletin board in each block, and when the superintendent disseminates changes and regulations, either they're instituted at his level or they're passed on from the commissioner's level, these regulations are posted on the bulletin board in the block. They are disseminated to all employees on the bulletin board in the administration building, and also these regulations are read at roll call before the officers go on duty.
All of them are read at the roll call for the officers? This is not for the inmates?
I would assume that all regulations that officers are involved with, and they're involved with them if it involves the inmates, I would assume that they are all read at roll call.
Now, these are rather extensive rules and regulations.
I would say so.
Now,
some of them change existing regulations from the past. We all know that there's been many changes in the department. Correspondence, for one, there's been many changes in this area, and there'll probably be more.
Now, today you mentioned that the officers have been given a written pamphlet which sets forth the rules and regulations,
mm-hmm.
and you're required to instruct the inmates on these. And these two are extensive, am I correct?
I would say they're, more or less extensive. It would involve your general rules and regulations that have to be in effect for the good order of the institution, yes.
And the inmates are instructed orally on this?
At the present time, I don't think that these rules have, many of these changes I'm talking about, have been disseminated to the inmates. I've said that they are in the process of compiling new regulations on the department-wide level.
Well, Sergeant, what I'm really getting at is, do you think that it's a fair criticism by inmates that they really are not properly instructed on what is expected of them?
I would say, if you consider degree, yes, then it would be a proper assumption, a proper criticism. But you must also realize that one of the responsibilities of the officers and myself is to make sure that these men understand these regulations.
Well, has it been your experience that when you've talked to an inmate who has not complied with the regulation, that you often find that it's a case of misunderstanding?
There are occasions when certainly it has been misunderstanding, and the normal procedure that I attempt to enforce in my area is that if an inmate feels that a regulation is not proper, or if he feels that an officer does not understand this regulation, he can come to me, and I will explain to him what the situation is, and then I will go to the officer and explain to him. In most cases, it's a minor type of thing where if he takes the time to question it, we can reasonably explain to him, and it avoids many situations.
In your years in the correction department, how frequently would you write up inmates for infractions of rules?
Now, this is a tough question. I can only estimate. If you figure an average for the 14 years I've been in, possibly maybe two or three times a year would add up to 40 or 50 reports over my career in the department. Yeah.
I should ask you, you feel perfectly free to testify frankly on the subject of your enforcement of the rules, and you have not been given
it. I certainly will testify about my actions.
And the department has not given you any instructions with respect to what you should not discuss?
No, absolutely none. I've got a free hand as far as the department's concerned.
Well, now, is one of the reasons that you have had rather infrequent occasion to write up inmates is because you do not enforce all of the rules on the books?
I would say that this is the rule more than the exception. I don't think that I've written inmates up more frequently or less frequently than the average officer. Now, this isn't exactly the question you asked me, is it?
No.
Would you rephrase it?
The question I asked you is whether you enforce all of the rules on the book.
I attempt to enforce all of the rules on the books, so to speak, and we have been fairly successful. Now, specifically, do you have something on your mind?
Yes. First, do you consider all of the rules that govern inmates' conduct to be reasonable?
I think that there are several rules and regulations on the books now, or rather that could be adjusted, and I assure you that there are regulations adjusted frequently. We have a staff meeting at the institution every 2 weeks where we discuss rules and regulations. The members of the staff are asked by the superintendent for their opinions on different rules and regulations, and if it is felt that for the good of the institution that these regulations can be adjusted, they are adjusted. And I'm sure that the same type of thing is being done at the department level.
Well, do you enforce the rule against droppers?
Do I enforce the rule against droppers? You're talking about heating devices. I take them, and that's about it. All inmates know that you're not supposed to have these things. All officers know they aren't supposed to have these things. We take them, and that's it. As far as writing a report on them, I don't write a report on it, and I instruct my officers not to write a report on a dropper.
Well, you've heard that some officers really look the other way, or at least don't look too hard for droppers.
I don't know if I've heard this or not, but this is a possible assumption, certainly.
What about talking about reasonable regulations? Do you consider the regulation on when inmates can get warm or hot water in your cell block to be reasonable?
It is reasonable to the degree that you consider the facilities available. Now, there is no hot water in the cells, so in order for a man to get hot water, he would have to have an opportunity to go to what we call water rooms, and there's a water room at the end of each gallery. Now, this is the only way that he could get hot water.
And in your cell block, when must he get the hot water?
In a water room at the end of the gallery.
At what time?
Normally, when an officer returns to the block with his gang, in other words, an officer in charge of a group of inmates in a shop, returns to the block at the end of the morning's work or the afternoon's work. Normally, they will give the men in their gang an opportunity to get a bucket of water.
That would be around 3 or 3:15 in the afternoon?
Occasionally, they will do it in the morning also.
Well, now, if the latest would be 3 or 3:15?
Normally, depending on what the gang is. Now, your mess hall, your men working in the mess hall return later.
Well, I'd like to talk about the normal case. That would mean that the inmate, if he went out to any recreation, would find that that hot water to either wash or shave with would have cooled by the time he returned. So that's fair to say, isn't it?
Yes. I would say this, that it has been my experience that most officers are rather lenient in this area.
Well, that's one regulation that isn't completely enforced.
It's not a written regulation. It's a situation that we live with, and individual officer tries to control it, you know, to the degree which allows him to still do his job and take care of the normal routine. If the time is available, there's more opportunity to get this hot water. And this, I personally have noticed this in my own block, that officers will try to give a man an opportunity to get a hot bucket of water, if at all possible.
Well, you don't feel that it's asking too much to have hot water to wash with at night or in the morning.
Well, I don't feel this way.
And what do you feel about the fact that inmates can get, in many jobs, showers only once a week? And
well, this this is the way it was prior to the disturbance. They were afforded an opportunity once a week to go to a central shower room. In addition, many work areas had an additional shower where a man could get a shower more often than once a week. Since our disturbance, this schedule has been up to twice a week. At the present time, all inmates are afforded the opportunity to get a shower twice a week. And in addition, they also, on many occasions, have access to a shower in their work area.
Well, most correction officers, I assume, will shower every day.
I wouldn't know about this.
But it's a, you don't think that it's a, or striker, do you think that it's sufficient to afford inmate showers twice a week?
I would say this, if the facilities were available to give every inmate a shower every day, I don't know what harm it could do.
Well, do you think that it might do some good in terms of trying to restore a sense of self-respect to inmates?
I think it would do some good.
Have you found...
Afford a man an opportunity for a shower every day. Make sure that every man can get a shower every day.
Have you found in dealing with inmates that many of them really have, when they come into the institution, very little respect for themselves?
This is a hard question to answer. I'm not sure what level of respect a man has for himself when he enters the institution, but I would feel that when he enters the institution, it could possibly lessen whatever degree he did have.
Now, how do you feel about the clothing that inmates are given to wear?
Well, there's certainly room for improvement, and improvement is in the process. I understand that they're in the process of supplying inmates in the department with a new and better type of clothing and more of it.
Well, is there any program that you know of underway in the institution that's directed toward this goal of trying to increase inmates' self-respect?
That's, like I said, that's a tough question to answer.
Have you been instructed on that subject of self-respect?
No, I have not been instructed on the subject of how much respect an inmate has for himself.
Or what the significance may be of having self-respect or not self-respect.
Well, personally, I feel that if an individual respects himself, he's a better individual. I will say this, yes.
And do you think that the clothing, the shower rule,
better clothing and more showers certainly help this situation, yes.
Now, over the years in this job, have you perceived changes in the inmate population in Attica?
Yes. Generally, they appear to be a younger group of inmates entering the institutions today, and more of them than, say, 5, 10 years ago come for crimes and involved narcotics and this type of thing.
Do more of them come from New York City?
I couldn't say. I don't have those figures at my disposal, but I know a good percentage of them come from the big cities, primarily New York, yes.
Well, I was really not asking you for statistics, but really for your own sense of the
I've always been aware that there were many inmates at Attica Correctional Facility that came from New York City and our other big cities, Rochester, Buffalo.
And do you have you observed any change in the ratio of black and Puerto Rican inmates to white inmates?
There appears to be more blacks and Puerto Ricans than there percentage-wise than there were years past.
Now, do you feel that the behavior of the younger inmate now entering Attica differs from the behavior of the older inmates that you were accustomed to?
Yes, they don't conform. They are more apt to challenge authority. They are more apt to force confrontations or to attempt to force confrontations between themselves and members of the staff.
Now, could you give the public some examples of the instances of forced confrontation that you are describing?
Well, normally it will be in front of another group of inmates. In other words, it doesn't normally happen an officer-inmate confrontation unless there is a large group of inmates in the area where the officer can be embarrassed in front of the other inmates, this type of thing. Usually it's a refusal to follow a particular normal regulation or to question the validity of a particular rule and regulation, and it is almost always done when this inmate has an audience, more inmates in the area.
Sergeant Cochran, when you entered this institution as a correction officer, what was the manner in which an inmate would address an officer?
What was the manner in which
an
inmate...
Was it sir?
It would depend on the age of the inmate. Most of your older inmates would refer to your officers as cap. This is carried over from years ago.
And the younger ones, sir?
Some, yes, or mister. There was very little sir. Most of it was mister or cap.
Now, today, is that the same?
I personally, as far as myself, haven't seen any change. Except they might call me Sarge, that's the only difference.
What about marching? It used to be the practice to march men according to height.
Yes, it was.
Have you found that some inmates are resentful of that?
Yes, some inmates were resentful of it. In other words, they didn't like it. They would like to march where they wanted to march. This has changed. They are no longer required to line up in formation according to height. They're only required to pair it off and be fairly orderly when they do go from one area to another.
Now, what about talking in the halls? Did some inmates resent the rule that they had when it existed, that they couldn't talk in the halls?
It's understandable. It's understandable that they would like to talk and be able to talk at any time and be able to talk any level of volume. There is a regulation in the department at this time that quiet talking is allowed in formation.
When did that come in?
I think it started shortly before the disturbance, and it was reiterated after the disturbance. So at present, this is the regulation that the department has instructed us to follow. In other words, quiet talking is allowed when inmates are in formation.
Why do you think the younger inmate objects to being marched in formation or to restrictions on his talking?
Well, it's generally a takeoff from society in general today, the way it is outside. There's less discipline, there's less respect for authority, a feeling among people that this country is saturated with rules and regulations and laws, and these people by nature saw fit to break rules and regulations on the outside. They're not going to walk in an institution and very willingly follow our rules and regulations, which are by nature and necessarily more restrictive than the rules and regulations which society carries outside. And these people by nature do not willingly comply with rules and regulations.
Do you have difficulty, feel that you have difficulty in relating to the younger black inmates entering the institution today?
Generally, no. Specifically, I run into cases where I have a great deal of difficulty communicating with some of the younger inmates. But also, I can say some of the younger inmates, I have no difficulty communicating with them.
Whose fault do you think it is that you have difficulty in communicating with some?
I think there's room for improvement on both sides.
What do you think can be done to improve it on your side?
Well, other than experience, possibly, and like I say, this is only a feeling, possibly they could set up some type of courses within the department which would be instructed by experienced individuals, psychologists, this type of thing. I think this could help. It certainly wouldn't hurt.
And what do you think could be done to improve it on the inmate side?
The same thing. The very same thing.
Have you ever participated in any rap sessions with the inmates? Where?
Certainly. I was involved in a group counseling program for approximately a year. This was a program that was set up by a Dr. Bayer, who the department brought in from California. I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, and he had possibly 10 or 12 correction officers, some civilian personnel at Attica, involved in classes, and I think it lasted 3 or 4 months. And after this period of instruction by this doctor, and he was either a psychiatrist or a psychologist, I'm not sure, then we were assigned to a group of inmates. And the inmates got involved in this group counseling voluntarily. In other words, if they wanted to get involved in group counseling, they requested it. And then usually two employees were put with a particular group counseling group. Usually two, for the simple reason that it was important to keep this program running, and normally a man wouldn't come in on his day off. So he usually had one employee that was there with him. I felt it was excellent experience myself.
In the classes or sessions you attended, how many inmates were there?
We averaged about 8, up to 12, down to 6. Depends. Some of them would be paroled. Occasionally a man of his own free will would leave, and this was certainly allowed.
Was this an integrated group of
absolutely,
inmates?
Absolutely.
And how many officers were in that one group, just you? Or?
The group I was with, myself and one other officer, were assigned to this group. Usually there was only one of us there, though, at a time.
Now, what did you discuss in this group?
It was an open type of discussion. In other words, the inmates were more or less allowed to bring up what they wanted to bring up.
Could they criticize you?
Certainly.
Did they criticize you?
I don't recall them ever criticizing me as an individual.
Well, I meant correction officers as a class.
No, not criticizing correction officers. Criticizing prison in general, this type of thing. I heard this type of criticism.
And did you think that this helped you in your job?
I think the whole experience helped. I mean,
help you relate to inmates?
Certainly all criticism is not bad criticism. No matter who it is criticizing, somebody's going to come up with something that is justified criticism.
Now, when was this program abandoned?
Well, I'm not sure just when it was abandoned, but when I went to Woodburn, I was out of this program.
And what?
I don't think that it's they're involved with it right now. I could be wrong on this, though, but I don't think they're involved.
Well, do you know why it was discontinued and why it doesn't take place?
I couldn't answer this question.
Now, you've heard inmates say that they feel that they are not treated as human beings.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes.
You hear this on your job?
Certainly I've heard this.
And you have seen it in the in press accounts, and you've heard it on television?
Yes, I have.
Can you tell me what you think the inmate means? I ask you as a correction supervisor, what do you think the inmate means when he says to us he is not being treated as a human being or as a man?
This is a tough one because I feel most every inmate would come up with a, you know, the answer would vary. What does he mean when he says this? I think he's talking about respect more than anything else. I think this is what he really means. He wants to be treated in a respectful manner. Now, this is a matter of opinion. I may talk to an individual, and he may feel that I'm not respecting him, and I may feel that I am respecting him. Like I say, this is an opinion.
And this opinion may have changed as the inmate
population
changed.
Right.
And have you changed your ways at all over these years of talking to inmates?
I would like to think I've learned something over the years. I can't specifically say where I've changed, but I always listen to them.
Well,
most officers are the same way.
For example, many inmates say that they resent the nightsticks. How do you feel about that?
I don't think there's any validity to this particular criticism.
Well, if in the days before the uprising, a correction officer would move 80 men with one nightstick, do you think that it afforded him any real protection?
He wasn't overly armed, I'll tell you that.
Was he armed for anything other than that if he was overtaken, the inmates could use the nightstick on him?
I think, to put this in proper perspective, this nightstick was more than anything else a symbol of authority. It afforded very little protection for the individual correction officer when you consider the types of things that these men are able to lay their hands on in an institution.
Well, aren't there correction officers who have said to you that they consider their nightsticks to be dangerous?
I never recall a correction officer telling me that he felt his nightstick was dangerous as long as it was in his hands.
Well, as he said, he thought it was dangerous to carry it because it might not always be in his hands.
This is possible that somebody could have said this, but I will say again that there is opportunity for inmates to lay hands on things that are much more dangerous than a nightstick.
Well, do you think this symbol of authority is necessary for your job? You don't carry one.
No.
Do you think it's necessary for the job of a correction officer?
I think it is. My personal opinion is I think that a nightstick is necessary.
For security?
For the what I just mentioned, it symbolizes authority. They're very seldom used.
And do you think that if its use is for symbolizing authority, that symbol of authority is helpful in bringing about changes and rehabilitating, to use that word, inmates?
I couldn't pass judgment on that question.
Is there somebody in the department that you know of who is passing judgment on things like that?
I imagine somebody is considering this type of thing. Who it would be, I don't know. But I would imagine there's a great deal of thought on this subject.
Now, you, Sergeant, have also heard inmates say that they feel that there is racial discrimination in Attica.
Yeah, I've heard inmates say this, yes.
Do you want to comment on that?
I don't think there's any more discrimination at, are you talking about discrimination on the part of one inmate towards another?
No, correction, well, let's take both. Correction officers toward inmates.
Considering that the correction officers was the first question, I think it's almost non-existent. How could it be when you've got probably better than half of your population is blacks anyway? We have to work with these people. I mean, if we're discriminated against them, it's certainly going to be apparent to them. I don't see any on the part of officers.
Inmates say they feel that white inmates get some preferred jobs.
On occasions, there's white inmates with preferred jobs and there's black inmates with preferred jobs. Certainly, I mean, if we would sit down and evaluate all the top assignments in the institution, and by top assignments, I think you're considering top pay type of thing, and certain privileges that may be inherent to the job. I think if we sat down and really looked at the statistics, and I don't have them at my disposal, I think that we would become aware that this is not a valid complaint.
But do you sense that inmates feel it, whether or not
it's
a reality?
They say it.
Now, is anything done to try to convince inmates that it either that it does not exist, if you say it does not exist?
If an inmate approaches me with this particular question, I do my best to inform him that it isn't this way and try to convince him that it isn't this way.
Well,
and in other words, I can point out individuals that work on different jobs. And also one other thing that we must consider, that there are certain jobs that involve clerical abilities. And this goes to the man who has the clerical ability.
Who makes the choice of a job at Attica?
Normally, your assignment board has the greatest influence on what particular type of job an inmate is going to hold at Attica.
Now, there is a job known as block clerk.
Yes, it is.
In each block, am I correct?
Yes.
And that is considered by inmates to be a good job.
Yes, it is considered by inmates to be a good job, right.
Now, did you have any role in the selection of the block clerk for your block?
When I was assigned to C block, the block clerks were already there. In other words, the assignments had already been made.
Well, if the post became vacant, would you have a...
I have already...